Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
This is Issues 2024. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Sedgwick County District Attorney Mark Bennett. Welcome to Issues 2024. Nice to have you with us, sir.
I appreciate it.
Can it be that you have really served as district attorney for, what, almost 15 years?
It'll be, let's see, this is my 12th year right now, so three terms.
Okay. Do you intend to keep the job as long as the voters approve, or will you ever give it up?
Oh, I'm not sure. I'll run one more time. We'll see where it goes after that.
After that, maybe national office. What do you think?
Not so much.
Okay. Let's be topical this week. Some interesting things going on with the stolen statue of Jackie Robinson out in McAdams Park, and the recovery of the, at this point, when we're doing this, we don't know what the outcome is going to be, but something right. Like that, Mark, where you've had something stolen, destroyed, all the circumstances, are you thinking about what kind of charges you will file, or have you already come up with something?
What I can tell you on a situation like this, I can speak generally, so not specific about this, but what we're talking about when item of personal property or property held by another is taken and either destroyed or taken to be scrapped, something like that. We have a number of options. One would be a theft. They took property belonging to another with the intent to permanently deprive that party of the benefit of the item. And the level of the crime is dependent upon the value of the item taken. So if you theft of we don't have a shoplifting statute. We simply have a theft statute. And if theft of something de minimis, a pack of cigarettes, well, that's a misdemeanor. Then you go steal someone's car, that's more expensive. Then you steal someone's, retirement. I start getting up to the $7,500,000 range. Now you're up in a fairly high range of felonies. And so those are the types of options we would explore. And then obviously, if something's been destroyed, you also have a separate charge of what's called criminal damage to property, which again can be a felony or a misdemeanor based upon the value of the thing that was destroyed.
All right. And another thing that it's been very topical here over the past couple of weeks is kids killing each other. 14-year-old and other two teenagers involved. What's going on?
Very troubling.
What's going on with our kids? What do you think, Mark?
I'm not sure 24 minutes is enough time to unpack that question, but there's any number of things that I think are going on. We've got you know, ease of access to firearms. These kids, all of these are firearms cases. You know, I don't know what a 14-year-old's doing with a handgun in the middle of the night. So start to ask questions in terms of how it is these kids getting access to these guns, who's giving them to them, or who's allowing them to have access. If it's not an intentional handoff, but they're making it available in some fashion. Number two, that it also speaks to larger societal issues about, you know, this sounds like a bit of a loaded, you know, politically loaded comment, but I don't mean it to be, but, you know, breakdown of the family. The fact that some of these kids are sort of left to their own devices running the streets in the middle of the night, again, another issue. So the criminal justice system can, you know, hold people accountable, try to punish, try to incapacitate so that they're not free to do this sort of thing again to other citizens. But it does not, we're not particularly effective in the criminal justice system of addressing some of the root causes of these sorts of things. These are larger societal issues, frankly.
I think a lot, but so many people think that you can solve them. And you, like I say, I think you have a great point. You got to go deeper. It's what's going on in people's their personal lives. So,
whatever.
Sedgwick County Commission has selected a site at Meridian and MacArthur in southwest Wichita to build that new regional psychiatric hospital. Do you have any objections to that location? Did you have any input on it?
I was on a task force that was put together by the governor, and she asked me and a dozen other folks, local legislators, county commission, county staff, even a legislator from another part of the state. We all got together and met. We didn't vote on it. That was solely the purview of the commission, but we at least addressed and raised questions and tried to hone the issue so that the commission, rather, would have as much information as possible. There were, I want to say, three finalists, final locations that were submitted to the commission, all of which were viable, and they found this one to be the most viable. I think that I wasn't in the room when they voted, but I know that the discussion beforehand, ease of access was one. So access on right there next at 235. Would be a selling point. Other options included access to I-35 or 135, rather. And so, you know, you want to be able to get access to for transportation. For some of these folks may need to go to the hospital, just a regular hospital. Those are all selling points. But the larger issue for us, and the reason why I'm supportive of getting the hospital here in Wichita as a general matter, where it goes was less important to me that we have it, is because we really need more access to mental health. This is specifically going to be something akin to what we call Larned State Hospital out in Pawnee County, middle part of the state, Larned Hospital. This is sort of what we have been referring to as Larned East, and it will allow us to put people who are maybe facing competency evaluations, restoration of competency, things that go that the criminal justice system struggles with, and allow us to put those folks here locally quicker, with more ease of access to the facility, and hopefully get them in and out faster. Because right now, for the last several years, we have had delays that sometimes run into the a number of months, not just 5 or 6 months, but to 8, 9, 10, 12 months of people waiting for a bed at Larned. And that really impacts the criminal justice system, how long people sit. Meanwhile, we're paying for it every day in the jail. So it's not been a particularly good situation. So we're really looking forward to having a facility like this in Wichita. I think it'll benefit us and also take some of the strain off of other counties. Sedgwick County has a big footprint in the criminal justice arena, far more so than Western Kansas. And so if we have something here, it allows Western Kansas to not be in line behind Sedgwick County.
Well, you answered, I think, my next question. I was going to ask you about how will this facility impact your office's work, and to just make it speed up the process a little bit, then, huh?
Yeah, and I think the faster people get evaluated, the sooner they'll get the help they need, assuming they need it. It's a benefit to them. It's not just, my goal here is not just I want this to move faster and more efficiently, although certainly that's a benefit. But it doesn't do anyone any good who may truly be suffering from a mental illness or an issue of competency to sit in the jail for 8 months waiting to see somebody. That's just not the way to run a railroad. So we need to, as a system, to do better at this. And frankly, it comes down to infrastructure. This isn't something the sheriff can do. Literally doesn't have legal jurisdiction to conduct this. It has to be done this way. So we need this facility here to facilitate that.
They're starting with 50 beds. I would assume they could expand that. Is that going to be enough?
That was part of the discussion in the task force. There was a strong encouragement, if the money's there, to double that to 100 right now, rather than waiting and having it. I mean, it's built so that it can be expanded to 100 fairly easily, but I think everyone understood that we could probably fill 50 the day it opens. And so it would be very, not just handy, but also cost effective. I mean, it's not going to be less expensive in 10 years to add 50 more beds. Now is the time to do it if the money's there. And so that was one of the recommendations, I think, from the task force, not just to the commission, but to all parties involved, including the state.
We talked this week with the commission chair, Beatty, about this same topic. And he said one of the concerns is, how many people we're going to have to hire, and can we get them? I mean, he's talking about hiring 120 people to start with 120 and go from there, I guess. Huh?
Well, and also, and if this were simply an isolated effort, I would be very concerned about that. I share Ryan's concerns. I think Commissioner Brady's got a good handle on this and understands the issues very, very well. But I have some hope in that we also have, at the same time, the effort that's going on between KU Medical Facility up there on Murdoch and the canal route to work with WSU for this new campus that they're trying to facilitate for the training and education of folks in the medical field, and trying to enhance that. And there are not enough folks who work in medicine generally, and in mental health specifically, in the state of Kansas. There's only one county, and the last study showed that it was probably adequately staffed or had enough folks in the county to handle mental health issues of the county, and that's Johnson County up around the Kansas City side of things. The other 104 counties were underserved. And so this is a statewide issue, and it's something that I'm very glad that our commission and other stakeholders have taken to heart and are taking seriously. And so while I share Ryan's concern, I also share his optimism that this new enterprise will at least get us along the path toward addressing those shortcomings in staffing issues.
You're listening to Issues 2024 on the Odyssey radio stations, and our guest is Sedgwick County District Attorney Mark Bennett. And so what's happening now with the illegal drugs? Is any progress in dealing with fentanyl or progress in finding out how to deal with it?
Well, I do know that it is a priority of law enforcement. So police, WPD, and the Sheriff's Department work jointly when it comes to drug cases and work with their federal partners as well. So ATF, DEA, those kind of folks who are always looking to stem the tide of the flow of drugs and illegal weapons coming into the area. And so they've had several notable successes. The scary part is when they do have them, they come and tell me how many pills they intercepted in one load. It does give you some indication as to the bulk and the scope of the problem. So, you know, when we have somebody come in with 500,000 pills that we stop, we can celebrate that, but it does also speak to the issue of if an individual's coming into Sedgwick County with 500,000 pills, it does fentanyl pills, to be clear, it does speak again to the seriousness of the issue. So we are taking them very seriously. We've got a number of pending cases right now involving fentanyl. The feds do as well, I'm sure. We've had, sadly, several that involve the death of people who took a fentanyl pill, and so the people who sold it to them, when they can be identified, we're charging them with one level of homicide or another. There's actually a specific state statute that was passed a few years ago for this very sort of thing, and so we're charging those cases as well, and have, like I said, several of them pending right now.
Sedgwick County is looking for a permanent home for administrative offices. Do you have enough room? You're still in the courthouse, the county courthouse. So,
correct.
Do you have enough room for what you're tasked to do?
Well, if you look at the courthouse and you're standing on middle of Main Street or across the street looking to the west at the courthouse, we're in the annex, the two-story building that juts off to the north,
right.
And we've
right.
been here for decades, I think since the annex was built. And that was part of the issue. They needed more court space. They needed more space for my office. And so when the Register of Deeds and the treasurer and all those folks and admin left, they left the courthouse to essentially be a court-specific and court-only building. They are currently redoing the second and third floor, and with the goal of having sometime next year my office move wholesale into that, which will expand our footprint and give us more space to expand, more office space for our attorneys and our staff, and hopefully take care of us moving into the future.
There was recently a problem with state computers and court files. Were you involved? Is Sedgwick County impacted by that? You're laughing. You must
yeah,
have been.
Yeah. Computers, man, they're awesome, but they you really when something goes wrong, you are reminded how beholden we are to technology. So,
yeah.
Several years ago, the state court system elected to go to a new records management system. So we have had for years something called Full Court, which is what all 105 counties, or actually 104 counties of the 105, have worked on, and it's where you go to see the, you know, you want to look up 2007 CR 123, you can see whose case that is and what attorneys were assigned and what happened in it, and it's all there, public record. They needed to update that. Full Court was not going to be supported by its company anymore, so they went to something called Odyssey, and they rolled it out in increments, and then just this past August, they rolled it out into Sedgwick County, and so we had not been operating on it. Other parts of the state got it sooner than us, and we were the second-to-last county to get it, so we got it in August, and a lot of infrastructure, a lot of effort went into it, and then October 12th, I want to say, it shut down, and we found out later that the state system housed in Topeka, which was rolled out to all these counties, had been hacked or had been the victim of what's called a ransomware, by what I understand through press releases from the Supreme Court, to have been thought to have been a Russian-based cyber attacker. And so they were shut down for several months. And just in the last, I don't know, 2-3 weeks, they've been able to open access to Odyssey again. Luckily for us in Sedgwick County, I had my own records management system, computer-based system, that we kept that was separate and apart from Full Court before that and Odyssey now. And so it allowed us to keep our dockets going. I could tell all the judges, here's what we have scheduled for you next week and tomorrow and a month from now. And printed out dockets every day and sent them to the judges and their aides. And we were able to, in that fashion, keep the courthouse or keep at least the criminal and juvenile and child needed care systems going. I was not able to help civil attorneys or the civil docket because we don't have a role in that. But it did allow the criminal cases to go along without interruption. And we were pretty thankful to have had that. So it was a mess, but courts worked hard to get it back online, and it's back functioning again. There's been some shutdowns here and there as they try to address things, but yeah, it was no fun.
You were insightful to do that, to have yourself another plan. And yes, I am familiar with ransom. Oh my gosh. That had to create a real mess.
It's a real mess.
How do you spell Odyssey, by the way?
Oh, thank you! Thank you for doing that to me on the spot.
Is it with
O D? Yeah, O D Y S S E Y. I believe.
Okay, asked because our company is Odyssey, but it's spelled A U D A C Y. What?
No, audacious. It sounds like yes. No, not that. This is not audacious. This is Odyssey.
I know the pandemic though had a big impact on our legal system. Have your offices and the courts, have they recovered from that, Mark?
Yeah, those are two different questions. Has our office, yes. Have the courts more generally? Depends on where you are. I will tell you that in Sedgwick County, the Sedgwick County judges, so in March of 2020, when things started to shut down, we were given the mandate that everyone got, which is to not have social gatherings, which would obviously include jury trials and court proceedings, et cetera. So that shut down in March, but by what would have been Memorial Day, our judges had gotten their heads together here in Sedgwick County and decided that this was not going to work long term. We have obligations to bring people and give them their due process and give them access to the courts. And so by Memorial Day, we were back either in court or on Zoom. County spent money on plexiglass and outfitting a couple of courtrooms. Whether that was particularly effective or not, I guess I'll leave that to history to judge. But the point is, they worked very hard to get us back trying cases. And by September, we tried the first case post-COVID in the state. And by December, we were trying cases, not a lot, but it was accessible. And then we kept trying them in 21, 22, and just last year we tried over 90 jury trials in Sedgwick County. I mean, we were back to functioning at levels that existed pre-COVID. And I'll tell you that because of that, just looking quickly at our statistics, and these are as of December. I haven't run them this month, but as of December, we are at 99 to 100% of all cases filed prior to COVID are resolved. Cases from the year of COVID, 95% of those cases are resolved. Almost 90% of the cases from 2021, and then about 2/3 of the cases from 22 and 23, looks like. So, wow. Point is, we're clipping along, and that is the product of a great deal of work from the defense bar, the prosecutors, and the judges. Now, I will tell you though, if you say, "Well, that sounds like there's no backlog." That's not been the case everywhere. There are jurisdictions, both in Kansas and more to the point around the country, that when they shut down for a year and a half. And so I know, reading some of the national statistics, that there are places that have incredible backlogs still that may take years to work down. So We're very, very lucky in Sedgwick County that everybody, after about 60 days, said, "Yeah, we're not doing this. We're going to keep working." And I say that without comment. This isn't a political commentary. It's just simply a fact. That's what happened. And so we were able to keep things moving. And, I'm glad that we did.
I got a news release on this. What is the pig butchering scam?
I get where the terminology came from, but it's something about fattening the pig. But The idea is, I think some prosecutor or cop in the East Coast coined that term. But what it's speaking to is people who get a text on their cell phone. "Hey, is this Bob?" "No, wrong number." "Oh, sorry." And then they, in a fairly benign way, see if they can't engage you in conversation. "Oh, I'm sorry. And maybe do you know about and then next thing you know, you're in a text conversation with this individual, which seems benign enough to begin with. And then slowly they introduce the concept of, "Well, hey, would you be interested in," and before you know it, you are, let me try to make you an offer here. I've got this thing I do, and it has to do with cryptocurrency. And next thing you know, you've been awarded, "Hey, you made money on this deal. I went ahead and did this for you just to see if you'd enjoy it, but you made $100 or $1,000 on this." And people go, "You're kidding me. I just made that?" Yeah. And then they got you. And then they lure you in, and people end up putting, considerable amounts of money into this cryptocurrency. And then, not surprisingly, they find out, a few days later that whatever money they put into this is long gone and untraceable and gone forever. And so, we spent a lot of time in the DA's office. We have a consumer protection division devoted simply to trying to protect consumers from commercial situations that, if you're loan money to your brother-in-law, you're on your own. But if you are getting taken advantage of by somebody in the commercial arena, that's where we step in. And it just seems to me that no matter how many times we try to get the word out, no matter how many scam alerts we put out, no matter how many press conferences we have about this, there's always a new wrinkle, and there's always someone who was not aware. And I mean, these guys are doing it because it works. You know, you think, well, who would get taken in by that? Well, the answer is a lot of normal people. It's just, there's nothing wrong with somebody who, that doesn't mean they're stupid or naive. It just means they just didn't see it coming. And so situations like this, where you and I are talking about it, hopefully people are listening. It's a way to remind people to hopefully see it coming next time so they don't get taken in by it.
Well, you're probably never surprised by all the cleverness and thought that goes into people who want to perpetrate crimes and take advantage of other people. Listen, Mark, I gotta stop now. We're out of time. It's always good to talk to you. I always come away thinking I know a little bit more about what's going on. So we appreciate it and appreciate the more than a dozen years you've been our district attorney. Thanks for being with us this morning. Our guest, Sedgwick County District Attorney Mark Bennett, and that's all for this edition of Issues 2024. We'll be back next week, and thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
This is Jean Marie Laskus with the podcast Cement City. So there's this election coming up, a big one, and one guy's been indicted. People are talking voter fraud. Democracy itself is on the line. Sound familiar? Well, this isn't that election. This one is in Denora, Pennsylvania, a dying town in the middle of nowhere, where I bought a house and stayed for 3 years. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.